let's put some of the issues on the table that we're going to talk about. Nurit already did a little bit of that when she said that, you know, 35% of people who come into the Mazzoni Center don't have insurance. So what are the important issues in terms of healthcare and the LGBT community, and how is the ACA a game changer? Do you want to start, Rob?
Sure. So in the 10 plus years that I've been at Mazzoni Center, we've consistently had this 35% of patients without insurance. And the interesting thing about that is that's a changing 35% because people come in and out of insurance for various reasons, because they get a job and they get health insurance, they lose their job, they lose health insurance. Depending on their income, they may qualify for Medicaid at one point and not at another. As we go through their lives trying to keep them healthy, of course, insurance is a major part of that, because there are things people need other than me just seeing them and examining them. They have, you know, more than just me looking. It also involves laboratory work, as you were saying, and x-rays, and God forbid somebody gets sick and needs to be in the hospital. That could be a game changer in terms of their finances, because a hospital stay can easily be $10,000 or $100,000. And so our hope has always been that with the ACA, that more of those 35% of people will come across insurance that hopefully is stable for them and not so dependent upon their work status or their financial status.
And Katie and Trudy, what have been the major barriers in accessing care? And can one of you maybe compare that number, 35%, to numbers in the general population?
Sure. And even though I'm here as TRMPA group, I should clarify, I'm a steering committee member of something called Out to Enroll, which is sort of the education and outreach group specifically targeting the LGBT community. So with some colleagues, we are really focused on sort of providing substantive health reform information and knowledge, excuse me, directly to the LGBT community. I'll talk a little bit about more about why that's important. I think to get to your point, and I would say that the statistics that were just cited, we did some research about what's going on across the country, so even outside of Pennsylvania. And it's true, it's, you know, one-third of low- and middle-income LGBT people are uninsured. So we know that there's about 9 million LGBT people in the country. One-third of those at the lower income don't have access to healthcare on a regular basis, and so they're using services at places like Mazzoni, but there's a lot of gaps. I think one of the barriers that you asked about is very much discrimination. So we did some polling research, and I'm trying not to read to you, but you know, most people in the general population, outside the LGBT population, get their insurance from their job. If you're LGBT, you have a same-sex spouse, guess what? You don't have some of those same options everywhere you go. So, you know, we found that 43% of people in the LGBT community get coverage from their job versus 58% in the general population. So I think that's a key difference right there, where it's just one source of insurance coverage that's just you're totally blocked out from. So happy to talk more about those statistics, mm-hmm. but I think that is one of the major barriers. And frankly, the ACA kind of allowing you to not have to get coverage through your employer is gonna make a real difference for a lot of people.
Trudy, do you wanna weigh in on that as well?
Listening to the discussion of what is left out in the community clinic setting. I've interviewed lots of people in community clinics all over the country, and this resonated with me quite a lot. What typically happens, and I really hope that this doesn't happen as we go forward, is that people could get the one doctor visit, but if they needed surgery or they needed drug coverage or they needed anything else, they really couldn't get it, because favors, beg and borrowing, was really the way that people got services. And I remember interviewing a woman who had uterine cancer, and I think it was in California, and she could not get a doctor to see her. She was on some sort of waiting list for his charity care, and she just couldn't get the care she needed. So it seems to me that with the ACA now, that will change, hopefully that will change, and that people in that circumstance will be able to get the array of services that they need without having to beg and borrow and ask for favors from the medical community to get what they need. Listening to this, though, I do have one issue, especially as it relates to the Medicaid issue and the low income. And I don't know whether there are numbers, and maybe you can tell me, someone in Pennsylvania, that the Medicaid expansion is not happening in Pennsylvania at the moment, as we know. But we need to think about who that affects if a state is not expanding, and I think this is not well understood. People whose income are the lowest in the country are those who are left out. I mean, this is really very perverse. And when people are finding out that they're not eligible for Medicaid expansion in the states that aren't expanding, they said, well, I don't have any income. How can this possibly be? So I don't know how those numbers affect this particular community, and maybe we can talk a little bit more about that.